Come and let the classes take the place in heaven. See, we trust the Lord that we know that He's going to give us whatever God has for us today. Everybody say, Lord, bless Sister Hunt and Brother Hunt in Jesus' name.
Good in the Lord's house.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I wasn't sure I was preaching today, but I woke up with a thought, and it's half finished on the computer, and mostly finished in the noggin. So no notes. We're just going to shoot it.
Go ahead.
Amen. But a little update on Sister Hunt. I could probably count with both hands how many times I've preached without my backup.
Thank you, Lord. My
support. I'm going to build a column about where she sits. We had a column right in the middle of the church in Poto, and that's where she sat when I got to preaching, okay? She'd bang at things. I thought she was going to break the sheetrock. And so I knew I was doing good. Amen. But I do miss her, and we're praying for her.
Yes,
called her on the way to church. The neurosurgeon came in and said that Wednesday morning she had some shots put in her back, and don't know exactly what happened, but they thought she had leaked some spinal fluid, and gave her a spinal tension headache. They did a CAT scan, different things, and they found that she had air bubbles. So my wife, you know, Sister Hunt, she's got that sense of humor. She looked at that young lady and said, well, that's a very nice way of calling me an airhead. And she laughed about it.
Thank you.
And then they did a consult with internal medicine, neurology and different things. And the neurosurgeon came in this morning and ordered an MRI with contrast. He said there's about an inch by an inch and a quarter mass in her head, and so he wants to do a little bit more imaging on it. But we're believing that God's going to take care of it.
Yes.
I could not stand here and tell you all the times that God has healed her, and God's just moved on her behalf. And so we're believing yet for another miracle.
Yeah.
I prayed this
morning. Yes, thank you.
And I said, God, they got it on an image. When they do that MRI, let them not find it.
Yes,
let it be a miracle.
Yes, Lord.
We got family that are lost, and they need a sign.
Yes.
And we're believing God, and we're trusting Him. We know that all things work to our good. I was sitting there this morning about the time Brother Luke got to take off and went to running.
Thank you, Jesus.
Felt the enemy. He said, are you going to practice what you preach? How many times in the last month I preached about shouting through your problems and
worshiping God in the midst of
trouble?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I just had
to start crying. Jesus.
I'm one of those, when I get the feeling of the Spirit, I cry sometimes.
Yes.
And I just started weeping. And then, Brother,
Jesus.
I just about come completely unglued.
All right.
And then Brother Luke run past me. I was like, was that really what I saw? Amen. We love the Lord. And this pastor's done a couple things.
Holy Ghost.
Amen. Got heaven stirred up, and it's pouring out its blessings. Got the devil stirred up, and he's trying to stop
it. Yeah.
Amen. But I do know that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world.
Yeah.
Amen. So I know that God is in control. God's going to fix it. God's going to take care of it. And whatever God wants. Amen. Lord, just help me to be compliant to your will.
Yes.
Genesis chapter 6. Is where I want to take my text. I woke up this morning. Brother Skinner and Brother Barber both told me, of course Brother Skinner's told me numerous times, that I need to write a book on sermon titles. And, I told both of these brothers, I said, well, I don't sit and think about them. They just come to me. Well, this morning I woke up with a thought. And I said, So I went and sat down at the computer about 5 o'clock this morning. I put a load of clothes on, getting ready for them to take to the dryer. And I sat down and started doing some typing. Y'all going to have to pray for me. My My phone is over there. I'm recording. I'm not live. I'm recording this. Sister Hunt says she'd watch it. And so I don't have my glasses. Amen. But Genesis chapter 6, verse number 13. I'll back up just a touch, and I think we can read it. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me.
Yes.
For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, and room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Amen. The Lord helps us just for a few moments. I want to preach on this. It ain't pretty, but it's God's way of escape.
All right. Yes.
It's not pretty, but it's God's way of escape. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful.
Lord, for an opportunity to be in your house.
Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for an opportunity to break the bread of life. We ask you, Lord, to have touches in these next few moments. God, sharpen my mind. God, untangle the tongue. God, I pray, Lord, that I will speak as you give me the utterance to do so. God, let me say that which needs to be said, and say not which that needs not be said. God, set a guard upon my lips, Lord. God, touches my life, come from off the altar. And Lord, everything that is done in this service, God, will be careful to give you the praise, for it's in your great and holy name we do pray, Jesus. And the church said, amen. All right. You know it. You can sit down. As long as you don't sit on the preacher.
All right.
Amen. Genesis chapter 6 is a very familiar story. No doubt most of us have heard the story of Noah and his ark. We have learned about it in Sunday school and children's church and different things like this. And even in many, many cultures, I've seen this morning 270 cultures record the story of a great flood. Somewhere in their ancestry, they talk about a great flood that happened. And so a lot of people will take and try to pay it off as something that was made up, something that was conjured up in somebody's mind. But you can look at historical and records and the artifacts and where they do archaeology, and you'll see that in fact there is proof and there is a witness that there was a great flood that came upon this earth. Noah is 10 generations removed from Adam. Adam was the man that God created from the dust of the earth, and then generations came and there was sin got involved, and just 10 generations later. Now I know that their generations are a lot different than ours, because Noah was 500 years old before he had his first child.
Yes.
Yeah, could you imagine that? 500 years old, and now you have Poppy. You become a daddy at 500 years old. And he has three sons, and then God sent him to work. I don't know how much the boys were able to help. I know that it was about 600 years old when he went into the ark, so they had 100 so years of working on this boat. But sin had become so rampant and violence was all over the earth. And one of the reasons why is because the sons of God married the daughters of men. Now, a lot of people have a misconception of what that means. It simply means the children of Seth married the daughters of Cain. And so they were giants in the land. There was a lot of violence going on, and there was a lot of things, a lot of trouble. It reminds me of the world that we live in today. The Bible even said, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, as it were in the days of Noah. So as it were in the days of Lot. Oh yes, friend, we live in troublesome times. We live in a world that is full of violence and darkness. I seen just a news article just yesterday where right here in Panic City, Florida, at a liquor store, somebody was shot and killed on Highway 60.
Yeah.
We live in a world where life means nothing to nobody. We live in a world where babies don't count. Hey, man, if you are promiscuous and you end up in the way, you can just go and have it taken away, and there's no harm, no foul, so to believe. And we live in a dark world. We live in a world where they tell us that our kids are not worth anything. We're just another animal on the food chain. We're just another species in life. But can I tell you, I still believe that the psalmist would say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But I still believe in the creation of God. I still believe that God is in control of everything. I still believe that God is the Almighty Supreme. And what God wills, God will perform.
Hallelujah.
So we live in a world much like Noah did.
Yeah.
But the Bible in verse 11, it says that Noah found grace eyes of the Lord.
Yes,
aren't you thankful today that in the midst of a world that is full of perversion, in a world that is full of hatred, in a world that is full of sin, that there is still grace to be found? Amen. Paul would say it like this in Romans 5:20, I believe it is, where sin did abound, the grace of God did much more abound. Amen. I'm glad this morning there's grace. Grace for you, grace for me, grace for our children, grace for our neighbor. Amen. I'm glad today there's grace. That grace is abundant. There's no sin that grace cannot cover. There's no sin that any you can commit that grace cannot. It may be 1747. Way back yonder, there was a man by the name of John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader. He had picked up a boatload of slaves and was taking them to turn a profit. A storm arose on the coast of Ireland, and in great danger, many of his men were swept overboard, and some of the men died, and he began to cry out, "Oh God, have mercy." John Newton describes that as the point where God saved his soul, and he surrendered his life to God. He came ashore, and then some years later, he quit running the ship and started studying Greek and Hebrew, and got a knowledge of salvation in the Word of God, and he was writing a message for a sermon that he was going to preach on New Year's Eve, and he penned the words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." So it's been estimated that the song "Amazing Grace" is sung some 10 million times a year just in the United States alone. I don't know how they come up with those numbers, but that's what I read. Amen. It is the anthem of the church, so to say. Amen. I've heard people saying, and I don't necessarily think it's true, but that when we get to heaven, that will be the song that we sing because it's known universally wide. When we get to heaven and we sing a song that an angel cannot sing, we will sing a song of amazing grace. And we may be singing amazing grace, but I don't think it'll be the words that John Newton penned down on paper. Amen. The angels know not what they speak of when they speak of grace. But I'm glad this morning I could arise and say, I know what grace is. And if somebody asks why, has the word of the song of amazing grace become so better and so powerful and so vital? And I begin to say, because I once was lost, but now I'm found. And I tell you, friend, we can't identify. Amen. Every one of us knows what it is to be lost. Every one of us knows what it is to be a Savior. Every one of us knows what it is, amen, to be bound for hell and have God reach down and interrupt our life thinking that He will pull us up and give us a hope and a power of God. Yes, we all know. Amen. We all know grace.
Thank you.
We've all felt grace. We've all experienced grace. Amen. I thank God for grace this morning. Paul understood grace. He wrote about it to the Roman church. And then he would turn around and say, I pray that God would take
and remove this thorn in my flesh. But he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes,
and I tell you
yes.
this morning, God's grace is sufficient.
It
doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter where we find ourselves in life. God's grace is sufficient. Amen. We don't know all what's going to take place with my wife's health, but I know that God's grace will be sufficient. Amen. I don't know what's going to come tomorrow, but I know that God's grace will be sufficient. Noah found grace.
Found grace, yes.
In the midst of all that sin.
Oh, Jesus.
Noah. Amen. I don't know if it was just him and Sister Noah and the baby. Maybe he didn't have no children yet. I don't know how many people were on the face of the earth at that time. But all that wickedness and perversion, Noah found grace. And then God began to lay out to Noah how he needed to build this ark of safety.
Yes.
Can I tell you this morning, a God who is so detailed and specific. Specifics. I didn't say that right.
Specific.
Yes. I used to say Pacifics all the time. And my wife said, you talking about the ocean?
Yeah. That's how big
it is. But God who was so, amen, detail oriented.
Yes, there you go.
Say it like that. Can you
there you go.
Amen. And how to build the ark. And
oh, yes.
Was so detail oriented. And
yes.
When he told Moses how to build the tabernacle, I don't believe that he just leaves it up to us to figure
That's
out how
right.
to live for
That's
God.
Right. That's right. Yes.
No. Amen. God yes. is a God of detail.
Yes.
And he told him to go for wood. Gopher. Somebody said, what kind of wood did he go for?
Gopher.
He went for gopher wood.
Yes.
Read this morning that They don't know what kind of tree it was because there's no known species of gopher wood.
Yes.
So some people think it's cypress. I don't know. But God told him to go for wood, and Noah took and he struck out and went and cut down some logs and cut down some trees. And I don't know, he didn't have a planer. He didn't have all these, you know, high-tech tools these wood shops got nowadays.
Yes.
Maybe that old ark was kind of rough cut.
Yes.
Maybe it was just an old rough piece of timber that he took and nailed it together, and he didn't have hardened tools like we have. And maybe, I mean, I don't know exactly how he did it, but God gave him the know-how.
Yeah.
God told him
yes,
how to
did.
Do it.
Yes,
yes,
he did.
So God tells him, I want you to make it this big, this high, this
yes,
wide.
Yes, yes.
In North Kentucky, Ken Ham
yes.
has took and built what he believes is a replica of the ark.
Yes.
In the Bible, they use the measurement of a cubit.
Yes.
Now, a cubit is the length of an elbow to your longest finger.
Yes.
Brother Vince's cubit probably longer than my cubit.
Yes.
So to say exactly how big it was, it's kind of hard to, you know, really say. But some people who apparently are smarter than I am came up with this formula that it was a whorl cubic. And then you look at some of the ancient buildings, it was 22.5 to 29 inches. Still a variance.
Yes.
So they say that this boat was some 500 and something feet long.
Yes.
And like 50 something feet, you know, this huge, this big, massive boat
yes.
being built in a desert.
Yes.
It had never rained.
Never.
The Bible says that the dew came up from the earth
uh-huh.
and watered it. Never a thundercloud, never a rain. Noah's out there hammering away,
yes.
making oh, this yes. big old contraption of a boat. And people are looking and saying, what are you doing, old man?
Yes.
I'm building a way of escape.
That's right.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it make sense to build that a little closer to the water?
Yes. How are you going to get it in there?
Noah would say, well, the water's going to come to me.
That's right. That's right.
This old man has spent one too many days in the sun.
Uh-huh.
There's something done fried his eggs.
Yes.
He ain't thinking straight.
Yes.
And I don't know how many people showed up every day just to watch what he was doing.
Yes.
just watching. I read some facts this morning about this ark, and it says that this thing was like 1.5 cubic feet. It could hold up to 20,000 animals about the size of a sheep. So when people say, ain't no way that you can get all them animals on that boat.
Yes.
Amen. When God's in control, it'll happen.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Enough.
Yes. Amen. God sent the animals. God set their internal GPS.
Yes.
And they started walking.
Started walking.
Maybe that's why it took 120 years for that snail to get there. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Turtle was right behind.
The turtles. Amen. The Bible says that two of every kind except for clean beasts, he took seven of each.
Yes, yes.
Seven of the fowls of the air. All these different things. Could you imagine? Now, I read, and I really like to, you know, like I said, these people got more sense than I got, I guess. But they said the thing had a state-of-the-art ventilation system on it. How would they even know? But it had to have something, because you can't have that many animals without having some refuge and waste.
That's right. That's right.
No doubt them boys would come to their dad and say, you know what, I'm tired of shoving manure.
Right. When we gonna get off?
And beast, the other option, you could be out there drowning. The Bible says the water covered the earth 15 times.
Oh, Lord. Yes, it did. Oh, Lord.
Could you imagine how big that flood was? Just my personal opinion, I believe that's when the dinosaurs went extinct.
Yes.
God knew that the earth was going to populate,
yes,
and man and dinosaur couldn't coexist so well, so he wiped out the dinosaurs. And the Bible talks about a behemoth,
yes,
beast in the book of Job.
Yes.
So maybe that's when it happened. That's just my personal, well, Brother Tester teaches you something different, believe what he says.
Bye-bye.
Amen. But this flood came and
yes,
it wiped out all of humanity.
Yes.
I'm sure Noah would look at his sons and say, it's not pretty. But that's God's way of escape.
That's God's way.
God gave me the blueprint. God gave me the details. God told me how to build it.
Yes.
Amen. There's certain things in the church that God has given us a blueprint. God has given us an identity, the way that we should live and the way that we should walk and the things that we should do. And they're not always pretty.
No.
But it's God's way of escape.
God's way. Yes, it is.
Amen. Baptism. That we think is beautiful because of what it represents. But
yes,
when you really think about it, you're being dipped in blood and you're being resurrected to newness of life.
Right.
You're burying the old man. You're putting him in a grave and resurrecting it. That doesn't sound too pretty, does it? But it's God's way of escape.
Yeah.
My dad and I were talking one time, and we were talking about baptism, and he said, well, water doesn't save you. And I said, I agree. But water is part of the process.
Yeah. Part of the process, yes.
Again, I've never watched my mama take soap water and wash a dish and stick it in a strainer. She's always rinsed it.
Always, yes.
Baptism is a form of rinsing.
Form of rinsing.
Amen. But the text was talking about the children of Israel had to go through the Red Sea. You know, most of those people died in the wilderness because they didn't believe the report.
Yeah.
And they didn't get to go. So what happened when they got ready to go to the promised land? God took that second generation through the waters of the Jordan River.
Yes.
Amen. Letting us know that every generation needs to be baptized. Amen. I just had to jump on the bandwagon.
Yes, go ahead.
God took and He made a way of escape. Oh, it wasn't a pretty thing.
Yeah.
That pitch was like a tar. It was smeared on the inside and the outside. And the only window, there's only one window that I know of.
That
was
at
the very top.
Yes. Right.
I don't see how much they got much ventilation out of that. Especially when it was storming and thundering and raining for 40 days.
Yes.
Noah's probably saying, don't open that window. We don't want that water out there getting in here. I believe God gave me this revelation because I'm not this smart. I read to you where God said put a window cubit by cubit,
yes,
up there. And then He said put a door in the side.
Put a door, yes.
Never told him how big to make that door.
That's right.
I've been to too many places that try to fit people through a door before they let them in the church. There was a church in Palatka, up around St. Augustine. And if somebody came in that wasn't dressed appropriately, they would drag them into a little room and help them change their clothes to get them more appropriate for church. I never found where that was the way God wanted it done.
That's right.
God said, put a door in the side. And whatever came through that door was God's responsibility. God drew them.
Right.
And I know Brother Texter feels the same way I do.
Yes.
Amen. I feel his heart. I know, amen, the heartbeat of this pastor.
Yes.
He doesn't necessarily, amen, he's not going to have somebody come here that's all indecent and exposing themselves. But he, whatever comes through that door,
yes,
God let it come.
Yes.
And then let God begin to,
yes,
deal with it.
Yes.
Whatever comes from this,
yes,
platform,
yeah,
is going to have to fit the window, because that's what Noah let out,
yes,
of. Amen. God said, put a criteria. God said, let something out of the window. Whatever comes out of the window has,
yes,
got to fit the mold.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But what comes in the door, that's God's responsibility.
That's right. Yes, right. God's,
and I know,
yes,
we don't have that problem here.
Yes.
Amen. But I was, well, y'all know I pastored before. And I know the lady was probably just as sincere in her wanting to help. Had a lady coming to church, and she'd been coming for a little while. And, you know, God was doing a work in her life. We baptized in Jesus' name, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And I remember the night she got filled with the Holy Ghost. I baptized her. We started revival on Wednesday night. We had church that Tuesday. Our midweek was on Tuesday night. I baptized her that Tuesday night. She almost got the Holy Ghost in the tub. And boy, she was stammering lip. And she was just, and it wasn't that cold. It was in September. And so, but I mean, she almost got the Holy Ghost. The next night, Brother Dale Stogner came and started revival with us. Our very first revival we had when we were pastoring. He preached that night. And the lady was there, and she began to pray. She had a double vasectomy and different things, and just had all kind of health issues. And she began to pray, and we prayed with her, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And I watched as she just about ran across the front of the church, and I got it, I got it, I got it. And it was just so awesome to see. But it wasn't very long after that, you know, she didn't come to church a couple of services, and my wife was her help aide, and she went and talked to her, and she said, well, so-and-so told me that I needed to quit wearing my pants and this, that, and the other. And I was like, come on now. Let God take care of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm the pastor. I'll go address these things. I don't,
yeah,
really need your help in doing that.
That's right.
Hey, but I know she probably meant well, but she caused a little bit of a wedge in the division.
Yeah.
And I said, ma'am, have I ever said anything to you about it? She said, oh, no, sir. I said, just keep coming. Just keep believing. Keep trusting.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very long. She took her pants off, and she began to wear dresses and skirts and stuff all the time. And God was doing a great work in her life. But sometimes we try to get ahead of God.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Let Him do the,
amen,
work.
Amen. Let God handle it.
Amen. You're right.
Amen. You can't skin the fish before you catch it.
There you go. That's right. That's right.
It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
Amen. Let them fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
I never sat her down and said, okay, here's the rules.
That's right.
Now, if she wanted to be on the platform, that would have been a different story.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Yes. Let them come.
Yes.
I had just one of those story days, I guess. I had a family come in. It was a husband, wife, and her daughter. Their daughter was like 20, 21 years old. So, husband hungry, wasn't even funny. And they came, and I mean, the Spirit of God would move, and he would stand there, and he'd weep and cry, and boy, God just touching him, and he never spoke in tongues, but I kept praying for him and praying for him and trying to get him to let loose and just, you know, let God have his way. And
yes,
one day we went to lunch, and he told me, he said, you know, me and my wife, we don't live together. I didn't know that. I mean, y'all came to church together all the time, drove the same vehicle. He said, it's my fault. And I said, brother, listen, God can fix it. Whatever it is, God can fix it.
Yes.
One of those services, I was preaching like I am this morning, no notes, just shotgunning it, letting the pellets fly. And I said something about homosexuality. And I mean, that fired him up. He quit the church. What I said was, if you know, preaching against the sin of homosexuality and how the TV perverted our minds, they put this kind of stuff in every one of the sitcoms, the situational comedies, made America laugh about it, got desensitized to it, and now it's paraded in our face, and they want us to accept it.
Right.
Amen. And I said, am I saying that the homosexuals are not allowed to come to church here? I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. They can come to church, they can come, they can repent, but when they repent, they'll change their lifestyle.
That's right.
What I said. He got fired up about it. Well, he didn't come to church a couple times, and I sent him a text, and I said, hey, missing you. He sent me a text back, and he said, I just can't come to that church no more.
Oh, Jesus.
And I said, well, I mean, there's something I did.
What'd I say?
You know, he said, well, I just think it's for the best. And then his separated wife and his daughter were still coming. And then he told us that I'm going to cut off your support if you keep going to that church. So they quit. And then I found out months later that the reason they wasn't together is he had left and was jacked up in a homosexual relationship.
Jesus.
Didn't know it. I was just preaching.
Yes.
And God opened it and revealed it. And I was like, man. But I loved him.
Yes.
I prayed for him.
Jesus.
And if I had known, I don't think I would have treated him any different.
Yes.
I did know he went to the doctor and they were talking about him having AIDS and different things, and we prayed and I said, God can fix it. God can,
yes,
Lord,
yes,
cover him in your blood. Your blood can cleanse his blood.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I was impervious to what was going on.
Yes.
Until God, in preaching, just threw the lid off of it. And then I still really didn't know why I was saying what I was saying. It was just, I was preaching.
Yes.
Amen. Have you ever been there when you preached and you said something and then you stopped and said, would I just say that?
Yes.
It's happened to me a few times. I was preaching one time at our church and y'all see, I stayed kind of here. That night, I went to pacing. I walked down the aisle, got halfway back up, and I stopped. And for some reason, I was telling a story about a guy that used to pastor in Dundee. I think he was the Baptist pastor. They say before he got saved, he was a real rough biker guy, just mean. And he became a Christian or started church and then became a preacher, and he was pastoring that church. And one of the ladies in his church came to service one day and had a black eye. He talked to her and he said, how'd that happen? She said, oh, I fell. He said, no, I don't buy that. She said, well, he didn't mean to. It was an accident. He said, I'm going home with you today. She said, no, Pastor, you don't need to. Well, Pastor followed her home. She walked in the house. She left the front door open. Pastor honked his horn, stepped out of his car, said, hey, get out of here. And the dude came to the door. And he said, I said, get out here. And he said, no, sir, I'm not coming out there. And that pastor looked at him and said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, if she ever comes to church again with a mark, I'm not coming and calling you out. I'm coming here and dragging you out. And they said that lady never had another problem at home. I was telling that story for some odd reason. And I stopped. And there was a husband and wife in our church. When they first came, they were separated. She was going to a different church. Didn't know the situation. 4 months, 3 months into pastoring, he sits down in my office and said, I gave her an ultimatum, and her time's almost up. So either she's going to come home or we're going to get divorced. I'm 3 months into pastoring, and I'm like, oh, Lord. But thankfully, he said, she talked to her pastor. I said, what he said? And he told me what he said. I said, that sounds like pretty good advice. Well, I was preaching that morning, and I stopped, and I just, out of the blue, I said, bless God, if I were here to put your hands on a woman, I said, I'm going to lay down my Holy Ghost and whoop you and pick it back up. And I said, no, as a matter of fact, I said, I don't think I'd have to lay down my Holy Ghost. I think God would give me the power to do it. And I walked back to the pulpit and went just like this.
What happened?
Well, then I found out why they were separated. He put his hands on her. And I was like, nah. God is just trying to give people grace. Give them space.
Help us, Lord.
Amen. Repentance is an ugly thing.
Yes, it is, but it works.
Man, I believe I was telling Brother Skinner this. People say, you know, I never fought the devil so much until I got saved. And God gave me this revelation. I'm not this smart. When you're lost, when you're running with the devil, you're going the same direction.
Yes.
What's repentance? It's a 180-degree change.
Change.
Now you're coming against everything.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why it's so hard.
Right.
Amen. Now you're going against the stream.
That's right. Now you're fighting.
Amen. The devil, everything that you used to do is now bumping you.
That's right. Fight.
Amen. But God's got grace.
Yes, He does.
So Amen. Repentance is not a pretty thing.
That's right.
You think the cross was pretty?
No.
The old rugged cross?
The old rugged cross.
Amen. They took and they nailed Jesus to the cross, and then took and stood that thing up, and it dropped into the crater that was there. And when that thing jolted, those splinters of that old rugged cross went into the freshly beaten back of our Savior.
Oh,
it's not it was not a beautiful thing.
That's right.
They took and they stabbed him, and blood splattered the ground around the cross.
Yes.
It's not pretty, but it was God's way of escape.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross to them is foolishness.
Foolishness,
yes. But to us, it is the power of God. And
power of God. Yes, it is.
And I'm thankful for the cross.
Yes.
Jesus would say, pick up your cross and follow me.
Yes, that's right.
And
pick it up.
You think it's going to be an easy ride? You think it's going to be an easy task?
Yes.
Where did Jesus' cross take him? To a place of suffering.
Yes.
Amen. Where do you think your cross is going to take you this morning?
Places.
It's going to take you to a place where you're going to have to lay down some things.
That's
it's
right.
Going to take you
That's
to a
right.
place where you're going to say, you know what, God, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yeah,
it's going to take you to a place, amen, where it's going to hurt. It's going to take and cause you to have to separate some things. But guess what? It's not pretty, but it's God's way of escape.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Bible says in Hebrews, follow peace with all men.
Yes.
And holiness. Without
and holiness.
No man shall see the Lord.
Right. No man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, I want to see.
A lot of people have that second part where they quote that. Holiness. No man shall see the Lord without it.
That's right.
And forget about the whole first part of that.
That's right.
Follow peace.
You've got to have some peace.
Amen. Everything within you live peaceable. I know there's times for, I won't say mutiny, but there's times to, you know, disturb the peace.
Yes.
Amen. If somebody don't stand up and say something, it's always just going to be the way it was.
That's right.
Amen.
Not overall.
I mean, Brother Skinner and Sister Skinner, they seen the disturbance of the peace.
Yeah.
Amen. But he got some things done.
Yeah, right.
Got the ball rolling on some stuff.
Yes.
Amen. But it worked.
Yes.
Sometimes you just got to raise your voice and say, no, enough is enough. We're not standing for this. We've got to take a change.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I believe it exactly as it is written. It's going to take holiness.
Right.
When I was a kid, they had a saying that said, holiness or hell. That's the way it was. I mean, they preached whole 45-minute sermons on holiness or hell.
Holiness or hell. Yes.
I believe it's going to take a holiness lifestyle.
Yes.
Amen. And I believe holiness should be spelled W-H-O-L-E-N-I-N-E-S-S.
Holiness.
Amen. Holiness is more than just an outward standard.
Yes. That's right.
Amen. It's got to be an inward part too.
Inside.
Oh, yes.
Coming out.
Yes. Amen. I've seen people who were the epitome of holiness on the outside were as mean as the devil.
Yes.
Amen. I've seen some people that didn't have holiness on the outside that were very nice.
That's right.
Amen. I believe it, just as it's written. It's going to take holiness to see the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I heard a man say this, and I liked it so much, I adapted it and adopted it. Amen. Our ladies. You know, the ladies actually carry the standard of the church.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of guys running around clean shaven and dressing in suits and whatever, and they necessarily ain't preachers.
That's Right.
Yes.
Amen. They could be doctors, lawyers, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Just because you put on a suit and tie doesn't make you a man of God.
That's right.
But women, they carry the standard of the church. I've been to Walmart on a happy time by myself, and I take my wife and daughter with me, and say, they'll come up and say, where do y'all go to church at?
Yes, yes.
Because they've seen something in them and necessarily seeing me. I'm just another Joe Schmo.
Yes. Yes.
But there was something about, man, look at that long hair and that holiness attire.
Yes.
Guess what they did? They just got a snapshot of Jesus.
All right. That's right.
A snapshot of heaven, letting them know there's something different in this world.
Yeah.
What they got.
Yeah,
it'd
be Jesus, yes.
Amen. I walked into the hospital Friday, and I had on my t-shirt that says Jesus across the front, and it's got the Rock Advocate, the Savior, it's placed in the letters of Jesus. In the back of the shirt, it's got the Salt of Life compass on it. And I was doing my check-in, and this lady was sitting there, and she gave me a thumbs up like this, and she said, I like your shirt. Well, they handed me my sticker, and I didn't think about it. I slapped it on my chest, and I covered up part of the word Jesus. And that lady walked over, and she said, now I'm going to mess with you. She said, you need to remove your sticker and place it up higher. And that shirt, I never really paid attention to it. But it says Jesus, period. That period right there. She said, I love that period right there. She said, that means Jesus, absolute period. That's it.
That's all you need.
And I thought, man, that's a testimony in itself.
Yeah.
So I stood there and talked for a minute.
Yeah.
And her name was Angela, and her last name started with an A. And I just, when I prayed for her, I said, God, touch AA.
Yeah,
and she said, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And I said, all right, we'll do that.
Yes.
So unless I have a t-shirt on that says, hey, I've got some t-shirts that say apostolic and stuff on them, and you know, I wear those sometimes. And then they go, oh, so. Of course, then they're apostolic. Every time we go to Chick-fil-A, we do an apple where it comes up Apostolic Tabernacle Poto. I guess it's connected to Sister Hunt's email. And it's funny. They'll stand there with that bag and look at it. Trying to figure out how to say it. And I'm like, you look for Apostolic Tabernacle? Yeah, what? That's us. They get lost in how to say it.
Yes.
Amen. But we got to let our light shine.
Yes.
Yes.
People look and say, man, I can never live the way you live. I can never do the things you do.
Yes. Yes.
You just got to take and just sell out to it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. It's not pretty.
That's right.
But it's God's way of salvation. What did the Bible say? God will beautify the meek with salvation.
Salvation, yes.
Amen. Mary Kay and all those things, all they can do is cover up ugly, but they can't make pretty.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Now you can hashtag that and tell them Brother Hunt said it. Mary Kay and makeup, they just cover up ugly, but they can't make you pretty.
That's right.
Amen. God said He beautifies the meek with salvation.
With salvation.
Amen. I'm thankful this morning that we have grace.
Yes.
And it covers a multitude of sin.
Multitude of sin. Yes, it does.
Amen. Oh, I know this preaching wasn't pretty. But guess what? It's God's way of escape. Because the Bible says you're saved by the foolishness of preaching.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad that God didn't require me to go and build this huge boat. And
yes.
Require something great of me to be saved. He just simply said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and live a good, clean, holy life.
All right, yes.
You say, Brother Hunt, that's a lot. Could you imagine having to raise your animals, make sure they're spotless, without a blemish,
that's right.
Make sure there's nothing wrong with them, and trying to protect it so it doesn't get blemished, just so you can take and walk it up there,
yes,
and have the guy kill it.
Yes, for 1 year.
To pay for your sacrifice. Not to forgive your sins, just to take and roam the dead ahead.
Right. 1 more year, yes.
Never took and abolished the payment.
That's right.
Never took and did away with the debt. It just rolled it up.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm glad when Jesus came. You understand that baptism is the remission. It's the taking away. It's the blotting out. It's the erasing of the dead. Oh, it's not pretty, but it's God's way of escape. The text you already quoted this morning, John 3 and 5. You must be born again of water and in the Spirit.
Must be, yes.
Amen. I'm excited about these baptisms. Yes.
Amen.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
I love baptisms.
Yes.
I love reading about them, hearing about them, experiencing, watching them, and even doing it.
Right.
Amen. I had a young man who, I don't know where he came from. He married a young girl. And they had started coming to our church, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And it was awesome to watch. His name was Dewey. Brother Dewey, he had the longest feet in my life. I thought he got to fold his feet in to keep him in the water. But we baptized him. And I had him in the tub, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, should I have him slide up some? You know, because he's kind of tall. And I thought, nah, he'll be all right. And we're praying for him. And he was already speaking in tongues. And I told him, I said, all right, Brother Dewey, I'm getting ready to baptize you. I need you to hold your breath. And I baptized him. Boom! I banged his head on the back of the rim of the tub. Brother Mike Herring was there preaching a revival. And it said, don't have a metal can in that water. Brother Harry said, bless God, I'm supposed to tell everybody at Pentecost, you body slam the people. I pulled him up out of the water and I'm looking at his head and I'm praying for him. And he, Brother Dewey, speaking in tongues. He ain't felt nothing.
He was going to say, or you kill him.
I said, that boy's speaking in tongues out of default. He won't get dunked again. You know, back in the day, they used to do that. Because the Bible says you shall receive, you know, the repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
They believe if they baptized you and you didn't get the Holy Ghost, you dunked you again until you come and speak in the tongues. Yes. I've read historical records of that. So Brother Dewey was speaking in tongues. Then we had a young man wanting to get baptized. And he said, Brother Hunt, can you take me to the creek?
Tell him more stories, Brother Hunt. You're going to scare him off.
He said, can you take me to the creek? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I don't want you to hit my head. So I took him to the creek and baptized him. I don't think you have a problem, Sister Amber.
Yeah,
you'd really have to scoot her to hit her head.
You're 2 foot tough.
But God is faithful.
Yes, He is.
I'm glad this morning that God has made a way of escape for us.
Oh, yes, He has. Thank you, Jesus.
The Jewish people couldn't accept the Messiah because of the way He came.
Yes.
He didn't come to do away with the tyranny of the Romans. He didn't come to set up rule and order. He came as a babe in a manger.
Yes, He did.
Robed Himself in flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifested in the flesh. Amen. It wasn't a pretty thing. But it was God's way of escape.
Yes.
Amen. Let's all stand this morning. I've rambled on long enough.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The ark was not a beautiful sight. But it was God's way of escape for Noah and his family.
Yes, it was.
Amen. By grace are you saved. It's through faith.
Yes.
Amen. It was grace that brought me to a place of repentance. And then I had to have faith. I believe that when I came and I repented of my sins, God would hear me.
Yes.
And then I began to take and walk in a different direction. It was faith in water baptism that I believed that when I went down and I went down in that name, that God would take and remit my sins.
All right.
It was faith that when I went to the altar and I raised my hand and I said, Lord, would you please fill me with the Holy Ghost? And I begin to thank Him for it. I begin to praise Him. I begin to thank Him for the things He's already done in my life. And I told you the story. 12 years old, God called me to preach. And I said, Lord, not going to happen. My dad's a preacher. And I don't want the people to think that I'm preaching just because he is. 3 years, I ran. 15 years old youth camp, South Florida Holiness Youth Camp, Lake Placid, Florida. In the building that is now their school, I can almost take you to the spot where I was standing. With Brother Larry Peters, who is going on to the kingdom, was preaching that youth service, preaching that youth camp. Came by and said, God, put a sword in your hand. If you'll choose this fight, he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. And he walked away. Never laid hands on him. I just simply said, yes, Lord. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Then, years later, when I walked into Brother Watson's church, Brother James Gallo was preaching. I told the story then, I think it was last Sunday. God refilled me with the Holy Ghost. But it was so much more real.
Piercings all over, and she came up and she went up to the front.
something that fell out again, and that time she was behind his boot. Somebody asked her after church, said, How's your arm?
Right.
Well, it don't hurt at all. And we fell. She went to the doctor because she had an appointment. I said, keep that appointment. I said, I want document proof of this girl. She went, and the doctor said, I don't know whose arm that is, but that ain't the arm from this report. God had took it and reattached it.
All right.
Amen. But I know God's a miracle working God. I've seen him do it too many times.
Yeah, yes, he is.
And this is just another opportunity for God to perform a miracle.